Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. All right, Saints, I wanted to talk a little bit about love and lust, etc., as pertains to how God created man and woman. In fact, let me just stop right here to remind each of us, that's how you and I got here. And this seems to be left out on a regular basis when we hear men talk about lust and trying to overcome lust. We all always go to the scripture in Matthew 5, where Jesus said, if you look on a woman to lust, you've already committed adultery in your heart. So what is the answer to overcoming lust? First of all, the answer to overcoming all sin is always going to be, without fail, the cross, the daily cross, where we are crucified with Christ. And those lusts of the flesh, which are the inordinate affections and lust, as scripture calls it, that rage in us, are shut down and incapacitated via the cross. These are the works of the flesh, which all 17 of them here in Galatians 5, but it starts off with adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Those are the first four, and they all deal with sexual sin or fornication, or taking what God ordained to be pure and beautiful outside of the context in which He designed it and ordained it to be. That is holy matrimony, one man, one woman for a lifetime. And I actually don't think I've ever, or it's been a while, if I've ever heard it, where we understand that attraction between a man and a woman is natural affection. The Bible speaks of where men lose their natural affection. In fact, Romans 1 speaks of those who burn in lust, men with men and women with women. That's a perversion of the ordained connection or attraction between a man and a woman. So one of the things I believe we should keep in mind is that we all got here because a man and a woman were attracted to each other. In fact, that's what God designed from the beginning. Genesis, in the beginning, God created the man and the woman, male and female, created He them. Genesis 1:27. And 28, God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. That's how we got here. That is natural affection that's ordained of God in its most basic sense. Now, we always talk about taking it out of context, which is very important because the Bible addresses that often. And yet we have to realize that the inclination of a woman toward a man and a man toward a woman is a natural thing. It's something God created for men to be attracted to women and women to men. And of course, it's a whole nother subject where you're to find or pray that God brings you together with that person of the opposite sex for holy matrimony. But keep in mind, as a cornerstone, if you will, that God put that in us. And there's so much alternative lifestyle, if you will, teaching or a justification of the perverted version of what God created concerning sexuality. That was His idea, by the way, may I remind you. Man did not come up with it. And God blessed them, verse 28, Genesis 1, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply it, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So this command is still in full force, that God intends for us to be fruitful and multiply. Satan, who has come to steal, kill, and destroy, and his main target is God, so he attacks specifically the human race, which God made in His own image. And that's why we have the pills that killed the baby in the pregnancy. We have abortion and many other things that are hindering and stopping this divine command to be fruitful and multiply. So we see that Satan hates and wars against God and therefore his design for the family unit and the multiplication of the human race created by God in his own image and commanded to be fruitful and multiply. In fact, societies are to be built out of the family unit. And so when Satan destroys the family unit, he begins to destroy that society. I was thinking recently about, I think it was World War II days in the 1950s, maybe before that. You know, you had all these posters with women, you know, with their arms stuck out like they have strength. You know, you all probably know exactly the picture I'm talking about. And they started the propaganda to get the women out of the household. The Bible says that women are to be keepers at home. And so the way Satan has worked is to get the woman out of the house, get her working, and get her away from those kids. And they pawn the kids off to some kind of third party to raise their own kids instead of raising them themselves. And that was where the destruction of the family began. And we're seeing so many problems that this evil has brought upon America and most places in the world at this time, late in the history of mankind, as we look for the soon return of Christ. There's a lady on social media called the Transformed Wife, Sister Lori Alexander, a wonderful lady, and her husband are pictured, and they have several grown children. I don't know all the details, but I do know that she puts out some really good messages on social media. Here's one of them of recent. She says, there are no, all caps, no career women in the Bible. Not one left her home every day to work for a boss and left her children in the care of others. Not even the Proverbs 31 woman. Many try to say there were, but this is a modern day fable intended to support feminism and career women. May I remind us that Titus chapter 2 verse 1 through 5 speaks of the design of our God concerning women, and actually it's verse 3 through 5, the aged women, Paul writes, likewise that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. Let me say it again, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now you'll recall, in contrast, or actually in union with keepers at home, that the Bible says in Psalm 68:6 that God setteth the solitary in families. God setteth the solitary in families, or the family unit. And so they are to be keepers at home. And as I said, Satan, who's come to steal, kill, and destroy, is attacking that family nucleus and the ordained order and roles for the family. In fact, let me read a couple of things that might coincide with this. The Transformed Wife writes also, let's see. Well, I'm just going to pick some of these out randomly because I saved a lot of them. They're so good. You'll notice I post them also on social media along with manhood posts and encouragement to men from the Word of God. Notice the Transformed Wife says, many women no longer know how to cook. They don't know how to keep a home clean and tidy. They don't want babies. That's totally unnatural, by the way. She continues, they don't know how to love selflessly. They only know what feminism has taught them. The future is female, quote unquote, and live for oneself is what they do. This is not marriage material, unquote, the Transformed Wife. She also said recently, get married, have children. Mom stays home to raise the children. Dad works hard to provide. Parents love each other until death do them part. Healthiest environment for children. Feminists convince women otherwise. Devastation elsewhere. Go back to the old paths, as we read in the book of Jeremiah. Here's another one. When women go bad, feminism, Jezebel, nations go bad because women are the ones called to be helpmeets to their husbands, raise godly offspring, and be keepers at home. When they leave their posts, that's the home, the children are raised by strangers and marriages fall apart. Thus, nations fall apart. Again, the transformed wife writes another one. She says, "Godly young women, you know that whoever you marry, God commands that you submit to him in everything. Therefore, marry a godly, wise man who will be a good leader for your family. Don't be foolish in who you marry. Many suffer because of their lack of wisdom in who they are married to." So here's one more. Let's just finish with this one. And this is just a random selection of some of her great quotes. Here it is. "Our culture teaches young women it's okay to fornicate, get drunk, and take drugs as long as they're getting their Marxist feminist education at a university for a 9-to-5 job. Yet it ridicules young women who want to marry young and have babies, then stay home to raise them," unquote. And how many times, that is such a good point, have we heard parents, these people claim to be Christian, I'm going to tell you, I'm doubt of that, big doubt. "Oh, you need to get your education." They're not training their young girls from birth to be wives and mothers. No, that's long gone today. All you hear them doing is talk about get your education. They bought into the agenda of the devil. I mean, how many millions of times have you and I heard growing up, "You got to get an education"? Yeah, 85% of those who got an education don't even work in the field that they got an education in. That's not our main subject, but is it really education? In a lot of cases, and much of it is indoctrination, not education. Ridiculous. And some of the most talented and very successful people I know don't have a college degree. They don't even want one. They're too busy being successful. So that's way bigger. It was blown out of control and people bought it because they're not studying the Word of God. They don't live by the Word of God. That's the only way to be prosperous and successful. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, "This book of the law," the Bible, "shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." There are people listening who have grown children, and you did this very thing, which you need to repent of. When you truly turn to the Lord, you will repent of it. Because if you did this, you were dead wrong and in sin. And you pushed your girls to get an education and be their own woman and all this other satanic garbage, instead of teaching them to be a virtuous young lady who grew up in to be a virtuous, God-fearing young woman who desired what God puts in women to be, and that is a wife and a mother, so that he can have the perpetuation of the human race where he sets the solitary in families. And now your grown woman, daughter, I get pictures right now as I'm thinking, and I don't mean to be rude, got tattoos, living with other girls, maybe some of them are lesbian and all of this stuff, and no kids, have, whether you know it or not, maybe had some abortions. See, that's what this leads to. Sin. Sin begets sin. We need to repent. God has ordained that the solitary be in the family unit. Psalm 68 verse 6. One man, one woman. There is no other marriage recognized in the Supreme Court of the universe before which we shall all stand to give account before the judge of our eternal souls. Jesus said, Mark 10:6, "But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female." There are only two sexes. Prove it wrong. You can't. Don't even bother. Homosexuality stifles the multiplication of God's creation, namely mankind, made in God's image, his prized creation around which the rest of creation revolves. And it was only made for that reason. Any person or notion that seeks to hinder multiplication of his human race is antichrist. Any teaching, any notion, any rudiment or philosophy of the world that does not teach the biblical model for godly manhood and womanhood is antichrist. It is the enemy of God, and so are all those who perpetrate it, including the parents who now have grown young ladies, and now they're wondering why these girls are in such a mess. Because you fostered it in them. I mean, think about it. Young women today, what do our young men have to look forward to? There's still some good ones, but man, I'd say 70 or 80% are gone with the wind. An ugly wind, a dirty, filthy wind. And anybody who participated in this departure from the truth is guilty before a holy God. You should be teaching your young men and young women the truth. I mean, I can't believe somebody would claim to be a Christian and they're not even teach specifically and diligently daily teaching their kids the Word of God. I don't believe it. I don't believe you're a Christian at all. I think you're a total counterfeit fraud and you need to repent before it's too late. There's no such thing as a Christian, a disciple of Jesus, who's not a person of the Word of God. Not casually or once in a while, every day. It is their life. The following command is still in force. We just read it a minute ago. Let's read it again. Genesis 1:27-28. So God created man in his own image. Only mankind was made in God's image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air. See, all of the things in the earth are for man's pleasure. And to rule and have dominion over. Genesis 5:2, male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. Any supposed family that does not begin with one man and one woman is illegitimate. The union between a man and his wife is to enjoy marital love. That's who God created that. And also to be fruitful and multiply and have precious children. Psalm 127:28 speak about the family unit. And if you, as we started off talking about, are having a lust problem, it's time for you to go on a fast. Don't tell me you want to get rid of it and you won't fast and pray until God crucifies it out of your life. You're a liar. You're not honest. You're a deceiver. Repent and schedule a time of fasting and prayer. Not only the first one, but every week you should have a day at least that you seek God in fasting and prayer. And that's not our main subject, but that's the cross right there. You're saying, God, you must increase and I must decrease. With John the Baptist, that's the cross, John 3:30. Where you're going to starve the flesh and feed your spirit. Fasting is almost always, if not always, coupled with prayer. Seeking the face of God, devouring his word. And you can find the fasting and prayer category on safeguardyoursoul.com. I can tell you by personal experience, obeying God in fasting and prayer will absolutely revolutionize your life. Jesus said, when you fast, not if you fast. Don't tell me you're going to overcome the flesh. You're not denying. See, that's the problem. Feeding the flesh is only fueling the flesh. And then you wonder why you have a lust problem? Come on, man. It's time to wake up, get honest, repent. Truly repent. Lay down your life and follow Jesus. Any person who sees children as a burden instead of a blessing is under the spirit of Antichrist. You're under the devil's dominion who's come to steal, kill, and destroy the human race. Children are a blessing 100%. And if you have a different attitude toward children, you are diabolical and need to get saved. Such a person has been taken over and brainwashed by Satan via the media and the quote-unquote education system, indoctrination is what it is, which is controlled by devils, by the prince of the power of the air. I mean, I still marvel that you got professing Christians with their children in these demonic public schools. It's like, we got to make money so we can have two cars, a big house, and go on vacation. See, they sacrificed their own seed, their own children, on the altar of greed and covetousness and worldliness and materialism. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Few things in this life are as precious as children, and only a corrupted mind could miss such. I can't even believe that even needs to be said, but we live in a day where it does. Unfortunately, apostasy includes being without natural affection, as I mentioned earlier. Romans 1:31, speaking of the sodomite and lesbianism of those who forgot God, and 2 Corinthians 3:3, where we see a mere form of godliness, those who are ever learning and yet never able to come to the knowledge of the truth because they won't truly repent and lay down their lives, those who are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. That's the resume of the last days. 2 Timothy chapter 3. A brother named Terence writes this. He says, sodomites, same-sex unnatural marriage, is sin in the eyes of God. In fact, the Bible says it's an abomination, Leviticus 18:22. Terence continues. He says, in the beginning, God created man and woman, and that's the way God planned it. Anything else is sin. Marriage is for procreation. I would add it's for love between a man and a woman, which is the depiction of Christ, the bridegroom, and his bride. Ephesians 5, 25 through 27. Marriage is for procreation. Sodomites cannot reproduce. They are going against what God sanctioned, unquote, Brother Terence writes. Anything outside of God's stated will and definition for a family, wherein he puts the solitary, is utter rebellion. Like it or not, any person agreeing with homosexuality is a vile rebel against a maker, the designer of the family. In fact, I had a guy that I thought was a friend depart from me recently because I put out scripture concerning homosexuality, sodomy, being an abomination. I told him very promptly, I will not be changing. I'm sticking with God, not you. Let God be true and every man a liar. The world has never more needed, beloved saints, God-fearing families to have more precious children to train up and spread the gospel of Jesus. Some would disagree, but the command to be fruitful and multiply has never been rescinded. Genesis chapter 1 and 2. The fact that God created sex to be so pleasurable between a man, a husband, and his wife is clear proof of his desire that the human race be fruitful and multiplied. That goes back to our original statement or thesis. God created sex to be between one man and one woman in the context of holy matrimony. Yeah, this was God's idea. If you have a desire for women, and if you're a man, you better, if you will. Now, if you call, like Paul, to be single, not married, and some people, that's fine. I don't think that's the majority at all. But if you have a desire for women, gentlemen, that's to be reserved for that one woman, which you should be praying for, right? And maybe praying for an Isaac and Rebecca situation. Genesis chapter 24. In fact, we have a small book called Are You Marriage Material? Which I want to say explores. Well, it examines or brings out the scriptures actually read by a lot of people that really like it. And it's on safeguardyoursoul.com or on Amazon. It's called Are You Marriage Material? And that is a great encouragement to those that are not married and desire to be and to be preparing and praying for the mate that God is going to bring you together with. Brother Matthew Washington, a longtime friend of mine, beautiful brother, got several kids, him and his lovely wife, Tanetta. He wrote this announcement. I am happy to announce that, Matthew writes, that Tanetta and I are expecting our sixth child. We are blessed as we know that children are truly a gift from the Father, and I am so blessed as a father to have my quiver full of them. We are so happy as we know that this is a part of the Lord's will for our lives, and we don't know if this is the last one as we continue just trusting the Lord as to how many we will have. And we are extremely blessed as the Lord continues to guide and provide for us as a family. Matthew continues, and I believe him and Tanetta have, at that point, had five boys. Then he says, we do desire a girl, but again, we know that is truly in the hands of the Lord. So I hope all of my friends will rejoice with us as this is exciting times. These are exciting times in our lives. The Heavenly Father has been truly good to us. I never thought that 16 years ago when I asked Tanetta to join me in marriage that our lives were destiny in this matter. Yet, as we have been blessed to walk with the Lord, he continues to amaze us with how he continues to bring to pass his will in our lives. I count it a great privilege, Matthew says, and honor to bring up each of my children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, as we know that in time that each of them has been planned by the Father, and we pray that God's will comes to pass in each of their lives. We who profess to know the Lord have been in love with the world, many of us, and we deny the Lord. The Bible says if we love the world, we're actually the enemy of God. James chapter 4, verse 4, and if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him, 1 John 2:15, and at the top of that list would be loving the world is walking according to the ungodliness of the world, which Psalm 1 tells us the godly man doesn't do. The godly man is being conformed to the image of Christ, being transformed by the renewing of his mind, so that he proves what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the philosophies and the so-called education system of the ungodly. Well, brother, that's the public school. I don't even know how to answer that one. That's so ignorant. The public school, in other words, secular, ungodly, run by the small g god of this world. How delusional was it from the beginning to trust the government? Cursed is the man that trusteth in man. Jeremiah 17:5. The godly man does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And then he also does not stand in the way of sinners. In other words, set the example and impugn the name of Jesus, bringing offense to it by the way he lives. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. See, that's what a godly man does. He delights in the word of the Lord, and he meditates in it day and night. Show me a man that's not in the word every day and claims to be a Christian. I'm going to show you a deceived man who is a counterfeit. If you love God, you devour his word daily. If you're not serving him daily, denying yourself, taking up the cross and following him daily, you're not following him at all. Doesn't matter how you argue. Doesn't matter. Jesus said it's daily. Luke 9:23-24. If it's not daily, if you're not consumed with Christ as your first love, the Ephesians weren't. They backslid. They apostatized or departed from Christ. He was no longer their first love, and he commanded them to repent. What does that mean? Well, they would have went to hell if they didn't, and all those that didn't went to hell. They're still there, will forever be there. Verse 3, Psalm 1, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. In other words, when you walk with the Lord on his prescription, you're delighting in the Lord and in his word, and you're going to have a super blessed life. That doesn't mean you're going to have all kinds of money. You're going to be provided for sure. But that doesn't, I have to say that because there's so many false teachers that equate blessing and success to money. Ridiculous. Some of the richest people I know are absolutely the most miserable people. And some of the poorest in this world people I know are the most happy because they're humbly. In fact, James, what does James say? In James chapter 2, I'm going slow because I got to look this up about how God has blessed. Here it is. Let's see. James chapter 2 verse 5 comes to mind. Here it is. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? They were poor in this world, but they were what? Rich in faith. And remember, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom? That's riches. Christ is our only real riches, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him. So Job 31 verse 1, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Now, here's Job talking about sanctification of life and being careful about looking too long or much at women. We're attracted to women. And when you look like David did off his balcony, 2 Samuel 11, you may just see a very beautiful woman scantily clad. Her name was Bathsheba. In that case, women are to dress modestly because God made men visually. Why did he do that? Why did God make men visual? Well, I think he had family in mind to be fruitful and multiply. He wanted men to be attracted to women and women attracted to men so that they came together in holy matrimony ultimately and were married and were fruitful and multiplied. It's not sin to admire the looks of the opposite sex. That is natural affection. It doesn't seem like we hear a lot of people put that in there, but that's the truth. God had a plan here, and it's all to be kept in his context. For years, I've had calls from men and prayed with them for a long time about overcoming lust. Well, it's the cross. It's always going to be the cross. If you're not denying yourself, taking up your cross and following Jesus, then you're going to be lusting. You're going to be taking things out of God's context. And that's called sin. That's uncleanness. That's fornication, etc. Every sexual deviancy from God's plan comes under the heading of fornication. Whether it be adultery, whether it be bestiality, incest, that's all in the Bible, condemned of God. So Job says, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? One writer says, I have cut or divided the covenant sacrifice with my eyes. My conscience and my eyes are the contracting parties. God is the judge, and I am therefore bound not to look upon anything with a delighted or covetous eye, by which my conscience may be defiled or my God dishonored. He continues. He says, why then should I think upon a maid? Notice in this verse, Job 31:1, two words stand out here, eyes and think. So if you look on a woman to lust, you've already committed adultery in your heart. So I think there's at least two aspects here. When you look on a woman, that's not a sin. But when you are not crucified with Christ and you look on a woman, you're going to lust. Also, that should be something, as that's clearly in this verse, to limit so that you don't feed the flesh. I made a covenant, Job said, with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Continuing here in Job 31, let's look at verse 3. Is not destruction to the wicked and a strange punishment to the workers of iniquity? Doth not he see my ways? That is God. And we know he does, because the Bible assures us that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Nothing is hidden from God's eyes. Verse 4 again, doth not he see my ways and count all my steps? If I have walked with vanity, or if my foot hath hasted to deceit, let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity. If my step hath turned out of the way, and mine heart walked after mine eyes, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's what Jesus warned us about. It must be crucified for you to have a successful relationship with God and be successful and blessed in this life. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, Jesus said. Matthew 5:8. So if my step had turned out of the way, perhaps, and in this context, that includes lusting after a woman or women with our eyes. If my step had turned out of the way, and mine heart walked after mine eyes, and if any blot hath cleaved to mine hands, then let me sow and let another eat, yea, let my offspring be rooted out. If mine heart have been deceived by a woman, or if I have laid wait at my neighbor's door, then let my wife grind upon another, and let others bow down upon her. For this is a heinous crime, yea, it is an iniquity to be punished by the judges. For it is a fire that consumeth to destruction, and would root out all mine increase. It goes on, if I did despise the cause of my manservant or of my maidservant when they contended with me. Then he goes on. So adulterous and having eyes full of adultery, either Jude or Peter wrote that, not being crucified with Christ and walking with lust will bring great curses upon our lives. There will be a reaping wherever there is a sowing. Galatians 6:7-8, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow to the flesh, he says, you'll reap corruption, but if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap life everlasting, and I believe, obviously, blessings of a pure heart on this earth, and a myriad of benefits, Psalm 103:2, that we are not to forget, that are from the Lord. There's no way that the system can be cheated. Whatever we sow, we're going to reap. Man may not think that lusting after women with his eyes is going to affect his future, but it sure is. First of all, it's defiling him. And as we just read in Job 31, it could very well bring great consequences that are very evil upon his life and the life of others around him. There's so much that can be said, so much scripture on this matter and several of the teachings of scripture that we're talking about today. Let me pick up a little portion here in Proverbs 6, beginning in verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment. Now, here's a father teaching his son. Now, gentlemen, are we teaching our sons these things about the importance of a pure heart and to look on women the way God ordains us to look on them, to protect them, to provide for them, to never use them, to love them and cherish them and protect them? My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee, and when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. And notice he mentions his father giving him this command, and also the law, forsake not the law of thy mother. So women are also to teach their young men to not to lust after women, but to be the protectors of those women, to cherish those women, and to provide for them. When thou goest, it shall lead thee, he continues. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. Notice, lust not after her beauty in thine heart. The scripture says in Proverbs 31, I believe it's verse 10, one of those verses, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. God sees beauty differently, although obviously he created the attraction between men and women. Outer beauty is not the most important thing. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart. I believe that in part at least means don't desire her just for her looks. That's what we see in the life of Samson, who made two or three mistakes in obtaining, if you will, getting together with women, and it did not go well with him. He died on the upswing, but he lived a very incomplete, a suboptimized life concerning his relationship with women. Lust not after her beauty. In fact, his parents were involved. He asked them to get this woman for him. You might recall in the book of Judges. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with thine eyelids. Be careful to be lured in. Verse 26, for by means of a whorish woman, as opposed to a virtuous, God-fearing, chaste woman, that's modest, as the Bible says women should be in the way they dress and otherwise, with shamefacedness, that's a fascinating word you'll find in the King James Bible. And let me say this, we have a audio series on safeguardyoursoul.com called Proverbs 31 Woman. It's been listened to by thousands of women, actually, and it's loved by many. You will see the reviews on it. I want to encourage you to listen and also to share it with others. Again, if you'll just put Proverbs 31 in the search box, it will come up. We do also have a category, two of them. One's called Jezebel, and the other one's called Women. But if you'll just put Proverbs 31 in there, you'll get that audio series. I think will really bless you. And it goes into the detail and definition of the word shamefacedness, among many other things. And that is a fascinating word I want you to look up. I believe it's 1 Timothy 2. For by means of a whorish woman, this father and mother are warning their son, is a man is brought to a piece of bread reduced to nothing, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. We've got to beware that women who have an adulterous heart hunt for the precious life. They hunt for the married man. They hunt for the godly man, married or not. And we read in Ecclesiastes a very fascinating verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Listen to this, verse 26. And I find more bitter, Solomon writes, than death, more bitter than death, the woman whose heart is snares or traps and nets, N-E-T-S, and her hands as bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. So we see who is going to escape the lure of adultery, and that's going to be the godly man. But the sinner is going to be taken in by the spirit of adultery, if you will, by the power of adultery, which he has no power over because he's not crucified with Christ and walking in the spirit, and therefore he's walking in the works of the flesh. As we began to read earlier in Galatians 5, for by means of a whorish woman, Proverbs 6:26, is a man is brought to a piece of bread, he's reduced, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. How many times have we seen men reduced this way? Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? In other words, if you play with fire, you're going to get burned. So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her, shall not be innocent. Guys, there should be absolutely no capacity in us to ever flirt with, much less lay a hand on, a married woman. You just can't go there. And that's the policy, the God-fearing policy that Job had. He would not even look on a maid. He was not going to lust. And Joseph, beloved Joseph in Genesis, he ran from Potiphar's wife, who, as we can imagine, was the prettiest woman in the land. When she lusted after him, he ran so fast that he left his garment behind, you might recall. And the Bible says in the New Testament, flee fornication. Now, why does it say flee fornication? Real simple. You can't overcome fornication. You can't. So you got to flee it. Don't play with it. If you play with fire, right here in Proverbs 6, that's what we're reading, you're going to get burned. Flee fornication. You're going to burn with lust. Flee fornication. 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee fornication. Run as fast as you can. Don't pass by it, as we read in Proverbs. Stay away from it. Don't go that way. Avoid it. Don't look at the stuff. Don't go near it. Cut off every occasion to it. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Verse 30, men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own. So think about the destruction that came upon David's life after he committed adultery with Bathsheba. The death of their firstborn is one, the first reaping. If you read beginning in 2 Samuel 11, you're going to see that David's own son turned against him, sought to kill him, Absalom, etc. I think his name is Abishai, something like that. In the 16th chapter, was calling him a bloody man, a murderous man. I mean, David wound up murdering Bathsheba's husband or having him killed, etc. The destruction is incalculable. Now, do you really want that on your life, beloved? Whosoever committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. Is it really worth it? I wonder about that. When I see people trying to rob somebody, I see them get caught and all that. I'm thinking, dude, now, first of all, I wish I could have been there so I could take him aside and say, listen, brother, and warn him of the consequences, try to pray with him so he wouldn't do that. But you're seeing it after it happened. So anyway, you just wonder, you want to ask him, brother, was it really worth it? Come on, man. And so in our ministry, we try to drop books on people like that, like some of the new books, which are now in Spanish, the authentic book. Do you have a copy of that? It is scripture rich, man. Each chapter ends with a prayer. Absolutely getting some great reviews on it already. It's called Authentic Disciple of Jesus. And the other newest one is Moments with Our Master. It's a one-page brief devotional. Great way to get your day started. Prime the pump for the Word of God. Begins with a scripture each and every day and has a little talk and then prayer, a biblical prayer to the Father in the name of Jesus for your life at the end of each day's devotional. So we try to drop these books, including the Born Again book, the small book, on these guys that we see get arrested. We find out where they're incarcerated and get to them. But anyway, you just wonder if you could have got there and helped them think a little bit and get them saved, then they wouldn't have had to reap that. Don't you wish when you look back that somebody could have grabbed you by the shoulders or the nape of the neck and talked to you a little bit before you did what you did? We all have regrets. God is able. Verse 33, a wound and dishonor shall he get, that is the man that commits adultery, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. For jealousy is the rage of a man, therefore he will not, that is the husband that you betrayed by committing adultery with his wife, he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content though thou givest many gifts. 1 Thessalonians 4, we're coming in for a landing to finish here in just a moment. Verse 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, he writes, 1 Thessalonians 4, that ye should abstain from fornication. Don't have sex outside of marriage of any kind, by yourself or with anybody else. Don't entertain any lust or adultery in your heart. Repent and deny yourself. Be crucified with Christ. There will be no fornicator in heaven. That covers every deviance from God's ordained blessing of sex, which is between a man and a woman. Doesn't matter how it is or what variation it is, you're going to hell. I don't care how saved you think you are. You better lay the axe to the root and go on a fast as long as it takes. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. And by the way, keep on fasting. You got to keep under your body, Paul said. He said, I will keep under my body. It's ongoing. Lest by any means, after I have preached to others, I myself should be cast away. Paul didn't believe once saved, always saved. He knew he had to endure to the end in the crucified life. That's God's conditions. You want to argue? Argue with him. Jesus said you're not following him if you're not denying yourself and taking up your cross daily and following him. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. What is that saying? Real clear, simple. God wants you set apart, sanctified unto him. And he's holy, holy, holy. So if you're set apart unto him, you're going to be holy as he is holy. Follow peace with all men in holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Hebrews 12:14. Verse 3 again, 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence or the secret desire for that which is forbidden. Are you rehearsing fantasies, as the world calls it, in your mind? That's not a fantasy. That's an adulterous spirit. Repent. Cry out to God in fasting and prayer until it's gone out of your life, and then keep going so it never comes back. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles, which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. That's a good verse to memorize. 1 Thessalonians 4:7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Now, Sister Lori, the transformed wife, also said this. This is a good one. It fits pretty well right here in our discussion today. God wants men to use their sex drive to marry, to have children, and provide for and protect their families. Satan wants men to use their sex drive for fornication, pornography, and homosexuality. What a disgrace and a perversion and a destruction of the blessings of God out of one's life. It's sad, but many men are caught up in this, and they will never get out of it until they truly repent. They've been turned over to strong delusion that they should believe a lie because they don't love the truth. If you love the truth, you obey the truth. And Jesus said, when you obey the truth, you're going to be made free. No, not just hear it, obey it. John 8:31-32, and whom the Son hath set free is free indeed. And if you're not literally set free, manifested spirit, soul, and body, in holiness, then you have not obeyed the word of God, and you're not set free by the Son. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. James 1:22. The transformed wife also says, I've never once in my life wanted to compete with men. I've never been jealous of men. I've never wanted to be a man. I love being a woman and the way God created me. I've loved being a wife, a mother, and a keeper at home. I love being married to a man, and I am so thankful for him. What a blessing. I could just keep on reading her stuff. I've saved a bunch of it. Here's another one. Marriage is when a man leaves his parents, cleaves to his wife. They make a commitment to each other until death do them part. Becomes one flesh and is now husband and wife. It's not moving in together, fornicating with no commitment at all, and calling each other partners. That's ridiculous. Oh gosh, how dare you think you're a Christian? You're living with a woman, sir? You are a fornicating devil. But you can fix that real quick. You either marry her now or get rid of her, get her out of your house or leave. On this same subject of men, women, God's ordained purpose for them and family, the transformed wife says, Satan attacked Eve because he knew if he could take her down, he could take down everything. Satan loves to go after the woman. Godly men are to protect women from Satan, patriarchy. This is God's design for women's good and their protection. And that's what Adam didn't do. He allowed Satan to isolate his wife, apparently. Now, some would argue that Adam was within earshot or there, but either way, Satan attacked the woman. And we're going to finish over here in Psalm 127 and 28, two beautiful chapters. I got a few verses in there about the family. We might have been jumping around a little bit, but it's all on the subject of God's ordained purpose for men and women from the beginning and his delight in holy matrimony, bearing fruit, being fruitful and multiplied and having beautiful babies. Except the Lord build a house, he starts off with in Psalm 127, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Now let me ask you this, is your house being built on sand or on solid rock? Jesus gave a parable at the end of Matthew 7. Those who build their house on the rock, that means on obeying God's word. That's exactly what he's talking about there. If you're not obeying God's word, your house, your life is built on sand, which is going to sink, and you're going to be washed out in the judgment, and you're going to hear the words, the cursed words, depart from me, you cursed, in the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels, Matthew 25. Is that what you want to hear? Right there in that text, verse 21 of Matthew 7, Jesus says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So many excuses going on today. All who make excuses are as sure for hell as if they were already there. I just can't believe that the amount of people that have no root in themselves, Jesus said, therefore they fall away and they're going to hell forever. Having once been known of the Lord, but didn't count him the first love of their life, they adulterated on him. That's why people commit adultery with their eyes, because they've already committed adultery, spiritual adultery with the Lord. He's not their first love. Verse 2, Psalm 127, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. I love that. Children are what? An heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As Brother Matthew Washington pointed out, how delighted he was that him and his wife were going to have their sixth child. Verse 4, as arrows are in the hand of the mighty, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man, blessed, that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Amen. I visited a friend recently in Branson, Missouri, and he has seven beautiful children. What a blessing. That's one of the happiest people, I tell you. Chapter 128, and we're going to finish right here, I promise you. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, Psalm 128, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. That reminds me of a verse in Proverbs. Here it is right here. Let her, your wife, Proverbs 5:19, be as the loving hind and pleasant roe, R-O-E. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always in her love. What a verse. What a picture. And that's why 1 Corinthians 7, in the beginning, Paul speaks to men and women that are married to not deprive one another, lest you leave that person tempted. That's a sin, and you contribute to their delinquency. Also, there's no excuse for it. Single or married, there's no excuse to have eyes full of adultery, to be lusting after the opposite sex. Back to 128, verse 3, Psalm 128, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. What a sight. Such a blessing too. And I believe that's clearly what's insinuated here. Your children will be round about thy table. Do you eat at a table? Round is really good, by the way. But at a table every night. That should be absolutely mandatory for any house. To pray together, to stay together, to eat together. That is such a powerful thing. My family was like that. Come from a European background family, and many cultures around the world see this as a very, very important thing that families do. They gather around the table over a good meal every night. Absolutely. Behold, verse 4. I mean, the benefits of that are just untold. All of this running and gunning and everybody eating fast food, that's ridiculous. That's out of control. And let me throw this in there, and this is just me, but I can't believe that people don't cook in their kitchen. I just don't understand that. Are you kidding me? The joy that that brings and the blessing is absolutely incalculable. I don't want to condemn anybody, forgive me, but I want to encourage you to learn to cook, to teach your kids to cook. It's a great way to show your love, to the people you love. Verse 4, behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children in peace upon Israel. Again, thanks for listening, friends. And again, I want to encourage you to look up Proverbs 31. Just put that in the search box on safeguardyoursoul.com and give a listen to that series called Proverbs 31 Woman. Very, very encouragement. And pass it on to a friend. Also, I want to ask you, I want to covet that you pray that this ministry be properly supported. We've got the Word of God going out to thousands every day in a myriad of ways. You can check it out more on the Because You Care page on safeguardyoursoul.com. God bless you, friends.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.